In Michel Gondry's visually inventive new film, Mood Indigo, Colin, a wealthy Paris bachelor played by Romain Duris, tumbles headlong into love with the charming Chloe, played by Audrey Tautou. But their romance is soon tested when she contracts a strange illness and he must find a way to save her. It's the latest from Michel Gondry, whose other films include Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and The Science of Sleep, and it opens tomorrow at the landmark Sunshine Cinema. I'm very pleased that it brings Audrey Tautou back to our show, along with Michel Gondry. Hello.
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 Michel, doesn't this film have a different title in France?
Yes, L'écume des jours, which means foam of the days. And foam meaning it's the little foam that forms at the shore with the ocean.
And it's been translated as froth on the daydream when the novel that it's based on was published in this country.
Yeah, it's the work of this writer. It's difficult to translate because he does a lot of play on words. With the sounds and the meanings of words that you have to translate in your own way.
Boris Vian, we'll talk about him a little later. But the title in America comes from Duke Ellington's famous recording, and Ellington recorded a famous version of the song Chloe, which is also the name of Audrey's character in this film. I'm assuming that you're a big fan of Duke Ellington.
Yes, he was my dad's god.
Audrey, are you an Ellington fan, or do you just have to go along for the ride?
Yes, I'm a Duke Ellington fan, but I'm also a Michel Gondry's fan, so, you know, it was a...
Did he explain that Chloe also may have had a reference to an Ellington recording?
Well, I knew that, but it was in the book, but I, you know, for me it was not something that important, you know, for my part.
Michel, you also referenced Duke Ellington in The Science of Sleep in the beginning of the film. The protagonist, played by Gael Garcia Bernal, dreams that he's going to a concert to see Duke Ellington, but instead it turns out to be Duck Ellington.
Yeah.
But you started off your career directing music videos for artists like Daft Punk, Beck, Radiohead, White Stripes, very different kind of music.
Yeah, Duke Ellington was dead. He died in 74.
So you couldn't do the music videos?
Well, I could do, I guess. No, in fact, you know what? I did the video on Chloe 30 years ago in 86 with a friend of mine, Jean-Louis Bonpoint, who was a big jazz fan. So I had already done Chloe's video, in fact.
Audrey, were you eager to work on a romantic fantasy film like this after taking on some heavier roles recently, like Coco before Chanel?
Well, it was great to be in such a fantasy world because it's very unexpected and unconventional. So, you know, I like this poetry and this humor. And even if it goes darker and darker, there is something very, I don't know, special in this story.
It's whimsical, but it's also dark.
Very.
But you've been in a number of dramas, like Very Long Engagement, The Da Vinci Code. You played Nora in Ibsen's A Doll's House on the stage.
Yes.
But do casting directors tend to call you mostly for roles in romantic comedies?
Well, it depends, in fact. It depends. No, I can't say that in France I have the opportunity to play, you know, some very drama heroine too. So, you know, I can do both and it's something very precious for me.
But I suspect because of the success of Amélie, people think of you when this kind of role pops up.
Yes, I'm lucky for that, too.
Michel, this film is quite different from the last one of yours I saw. It wasn't your last film, but it was The We and the I, about teenagers going home from school on a bus. Do you like to go back and forth?
Yeah, in fact, each time I finish a movie, I feel I failed and I want to try to change everything.
You so feel like you failed each time?
Yeah, I watch the movie and I repaint the screen in white and I project my next movie on it. So I try something completely different.
Although this is in the spirit of some of your earlier films.
Yeah, in fact, by changing everything, automatically I come back to where I was before.
You go back and forth.
Yeah.
Audrey, had you read Boris Vian's novel of 1947, Froth on the Daydream, before you became involved in this film?
Yes, I had read this book when I was a teenager, as many teenagers in France, and I really enjoyed it. It was a very special story, and, you know, so I remember it a lot.
Bordesvian isn't well known outside of France. That's because, as you say, Michel, he relied a lot on wordplay and things like that.
Well, he was a bit on the fringe, on the edge of the Surrealism movement. So it's quite French, and the play on word, we were trying to translate L'Écume des Jours, and it's very hard. You have to explain it for 5 minutes before it sort of makes sense. So it's very part of the French culture.
There are some books that are just considered impossible to make into films. But Louis Malle did okay with Zazie dans le métro, which were also kind of on the edge.
Yeah, it's a very good example. And I have to say that it was very much attacked by the critics at the time. We were very much like Nouvelle Vague because it was very visual. And in fact, it was maybe the most creative work by Louis Malle. So it's a good reference to me. On creativity, a translated work with visual from words that are combined, in an original way.
So Vian wrote puns. You decided to do visual puns. Are the visual things that happened in this film directly out of the book?
Mostly, but some of them are coming from me, but indirectly influenced by Boris Vian, because my inspiration in general was quite inspired by reading his work.
Audrey, when you read it, did you ever imagine that it could be made into a movie?
Well, when I read the script, I was still not believing that it could be possible, you know, when you read like, no, it's how they climb in a cloud and the clouds are... goes up above the Paris sky, the Paris roofs, and they do a little travel. You're like, oh, how good is they are going to make it? Because, you know, there's no special effects or this kind of thing. So,
well, with CGI these days, it's not all that difficult. But I gather that you didn't use a lot of CGI. You used older cinematic approaches.
Yes, for several reasons. One is like we're talking about the play on words, and it's like he took a pair of scissors and cut a piece of paper and stick them together like Max Ernst would do with drawings. And I think that translates better when you have to build things physically. And actually, the cloud, I wanted to have it like a physical ride that people, the audience, would want to experience. That they would want to see a cloud raised by hanging from a crane, and that would go really far. And actually, Audrey was completely panicked. I tried to show her it was safe by riding the cloud myself, but I found out I couldn't because I was not insured in case I die.
So Audrey, you didn't have a double do those scenes? You had to do them yourself?
Most of them, I did myself. But, you know, it was safe, but it was very impressive, yes. But, I mean, there were so many things, you know, the wedding in the aquarium or, you know, the see-through cars.
But I think what I like in this moment where Audrey is scared to death.
But was she really above, as high above Paris as it looks like in the film?
Yes, definitely.
100 feet at least. And what I like is, in this scene, it's like the first date. And you really feel scared when you go into a first date because, I mean, you have some attachment to the person you're meeting. You feel you could fail. And I think the vertigo translated this feeling very well.
My guests are Michel Gondry, whose latest film is Mood Indigo. Also, Audrey Tautou, who is one of its stars. It opens tomorrow at the Landmark Sunshine Cinema. Audrey, so many actors in films that rely on computer graphics have to act their scenes out in empty green rooms. Did you think that – have you ever done that?
No, I've never done really to act. I've never had to act in front of a green screen or this kind of thing.
But here you were really just doing this. Although there were other effects that I it's really hard for me to imagine how you did it. You have things crawling up the wall. You have cakes exploding and doing all sorts of other things. Were you using animation?
Yeah, people would do animation, but within the same space that the actor were playing. So they would come after the day of shooting and work at night. And instead of the blue screen or green screen, we use back projection, which the actor can see and feel the sort of world they are evolving, which they can... I think green screen makes people apart because each one imagines a different outcome. And sometimes it doesn't look like they're talking to each other even.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that it looks really real. You know, every props, every location are completely, you know, out of our imagination and very, with a lot of fantasy. But as it's real, it's made in reality, it makes it very... Like the real daily, you know, you comme on dit le quotidien.
Yeah, from daily life.
But you were on the set with real contraptions, these complicated contraptions all around you.
Yes, but it was very helpful to see the set and the decorations changing all along the story.
How did you approach Audrey about being in this film?
A cartoon for her to convince her.
Yeah, an animated film?
Yeah, a little animated film where I was asking her, writing her letter. I was at Brooklyn at the time, and then I was flying across the ocean to drop the letter in her window.
Have you used that technique to convince other actors to work with you?
No, only for Audrey.
You must feel very special. He did an animated film to get you to be in the film. Did that convince you immediately?
Well, the thing is that the first time I was so surprised that I didn't even understand, because for me it was not possible. So I didn't really understand what he wanted to tell me. But after he explained me, it's a wonderful gift, you know, when somebody spends some time, it's, you know, more precious than anything else, which is expensive.
You and your co-star, Romain Duris, have starred together in a series of films, the L'Auberge Espagnole series, most recently in New York Chinese Puzzle.
Yes, yes.
You must be used to working with him at this point. Is it more comfortable because you've done so many other films with him?
Well, it's comfortable only because he's very talented and he's a great actor and a nice person. You know, we have a great complicity because I think that we like each other, but, you know, it can happen when you meet somebody for the first time, too. So, you know.
In this case, you cast yourself in a minor role, didn't you, Michelle?
Yeah, I was playing the doctor. What I liked in doing that is that Audrey and Romain are just about to crack up, to laugh in laughter. And you can see their cheek, you can see they're biting their cheek from the inside. And I like this stuff, it's like the Larry David show, you know, they're all about to crack up and they just cut the shot before they explode in laughter. And I think we had this sort of relationship on the set.
But casting yourself in a film, this is something that Hitchcock liked to do. Are you going to start doing it in all of your future films?
Depends on my weight. No, I don't think so. I think
a very serious moment in the film.
I give the bad news, but I think there is something in common with being the director and being the doctor. Like the actor turned to me to ask if he was good or bad, and I have to deliver the news, which is like when the patient turned to the doctor and ask if he's going to live or die. I mean, in a different proportion, of course. But I tried many actors that I really loved, and they were not available or didn't want to take the job. And after a while, I think that's my script supervisor asked me if I could do it, like a suggestion, and I guess I was stupid enough to do it. I will not do it again.
Is he kind to you, Audrey?
Yes, he's very kind, yes. Very generous and very... you give him a lot of confidence. That's great.
This in the film, you often depict ordinary workaday life as truly terrible. I assume that's in the novel, which I haven't read. But do you feel that way?
Well, I think some people It's a recent feeling I had. I couldn't understand that people were not so engaged so much in the day work. And then I realized that for some people, it's not the most important thing. They have interest into more important things like relationship, relation with their friend, food, or whatever, or their children. And as well, we some of us are lucky to do their hobby as a job. So we have passion in our job, but most people, they work in factories or do a job that they're eager to be finished. And I understand for those people, working is not the best thing in the world.
Colin has to go to a factory to make enough money to get Chloe treatment when she falls ill.
Yeah.
Getting back to the special effects, because they are fantastic. When you're working on a movie like Mood Indigo, what comes first, the storyline or working on the complicated visuals, working them out?
Well, I'm going to say the storyline, of course, especially because some people would complain I have too much attachment to the visual. But the book was very visual. But, of course, that's why I choose Audrey and people like Audrey or Roman, because I know they're going to sort of solidify the storyline, and they're going to have a screen present that's going to hold all those fragments together.
The film has some fantastic inventions, including a piano that makes different cocktails according to the music that's being played on it. That's in the novel as well?
Yes, completely.
I guess I'm going to have to read this novel. I don't know if it's available in translation still. I doubt that it's in print in English these days.
Yes, I think it should be.
Are the kinds of things you did here different from what you've done in any of your other films?
Since it was such a prominent novel in France, I didn't want to... I wanted in a way to free myself and be really myself, or maybe overly myself. So I went all the way, but it's me, so I'm not sure it's completely different or not.
Audrey, were you able to drink any of those piano cocktails?
No, because I was not in the scenes, unfortunately.
She has to eat those horrible little pills instead. Yeah.
Films from France are quite different these days than when I was growing up, you know, there, and then, of course, the Nouvelle Vague. Is it romantic comedies like this that the French public is most responsive to?
I don't know, in fact. I don't know. I think, yeah, maybe. I have no idea.
Don't you think that's romantic comedy? It's more American audience? It's a word we don't use so much in France. Comedy romantique? Romantic comedy? Maybe we do. But I think it's more...
Well, you spent a lot of time in this country, so maybe you've developed a certain appreciation of romantic comedies. Tonight, after the 7:30 screening at the Landmark Sunshine Cinema, is it tonight or tomorrow night?
It's one tonight.
Michel will be answering questions, and then he and Audrey Tautou will be taking questions tomorrow, both at the 5 p.m. and the 7:30 screening.
So you're not coming tonight, Audrey?
No, I don't.
I don't understand why.
But she's been here, and my great thanks to Audrey Tautou and Michel Gondry.
No, I want to come back to this. Why not coming, Audrey?
When we're off the air. It opens tomorrow at the Landmark Sunshine
Audrey,
Cinema.
Audrey, you must come.